Here we go, Drive at 5. So great to be speaking to you on this wonderful Thursday evening. 866-391-1020 is that number. That's 866-391-1020. What a day. I do want to get into what PNC Bank is doing with their employees in just a couple moments, because I'm lost on how it shocks people. I'm stunned on how this is a gigantic story, or at the very least, how people are sort of taken aback by it. But Donna's in Munhall. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Colin. I say drink as much coffee as you want to. I don't think there should be any person looking down on you, any social thing that says you can only have two cups of coffee. Same with—
You mean at the coffee shop when it has the refill thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See, I feel like that's not in the spirit of the purchase.
To me, if I'm paying for it, I'll drink as much coffee as I want to. Same if you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Wait a minute. Let's talk this out. That is different. I don't really go to those places, but that's different because it's stated that that is the objective for some people, the goal, and at the very least, that's the accepted practice. Whenever they put that coffee thing out, I think it's just to kind of top it off or give you a refill.
I wouldn't think so. I would just drink as much coffee as I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I seriously would. Yeah.
Okay. Now, see, that's interesting that you say that. Now, what about the people that sit at the coffee shop for 3-4 hours and drink 10 cups? You're all right with that?
Absolutely all right with that. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. All right. I feel bad. I don't feel like that's in the spirit of the rule. How many of you ever sat and drank at a coffee shop, Donna?
Oh, I would say at Panera, I probably sat and drank like 5 cups.
Wow.
Because we sit there, we're a bunch of old people get together, and we sit there for hours.
Well, all right, I want to interject something. Panera is, I don't want to say different. I'll be frank, though. I don't like Panera. Panera's different, though, because Panera's a big national kind of chain. I wouldn't feel as bad taking from Panera, so to speak, or not playing by those same rules that I put for, like, a locally owned coffee shop.
See, I figure if you're buying the membership, drink as much as you want to.
Man, you got no conscience there, Donna.
No conscience at all.
None. What do you guys talk about?
I bet you
gossip about everybody at that Panera.
Yes, we do. We talk about people that come in like, look at that. Who would wear that? Absolutely.
Oh.
But it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun.
Sounds like it. Now, do you get something to eat there too?
Lots of times we get bagels. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they will come over, the manager, because we go there every day, the manager will come over and give us free yesterday's cookies.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
What do they have, like macadamias or M&Ms or something in them?
Yeah, they have all kind of stuff in them. The chocolate chip or macadamia nuts, or there's something called the kitchen sink, and it has everything in it. But she'll bring over the ones from the day before and give them to us for free.
Wow. Now, jeez, do you ever get tired of going to Panera? You guys ever want to switch it up?
No. We love it there.
See, the coffee is too acidic for me at Panera. It gets in my stomach some.
Well, I like the light coffee, and I put more half and half in it than I do coffee. That's the way I drink my coffee.
Oh, so you just pour a little coffee into your cream?
Yes. Okay. I have a little bit of coffee with my cream.
All right. Man, before I know it, I'm going to have this big coffee club that I'm going to have to go to with a bunch of people. You know who else goes to Panera? A religious experience at Panera all the time. Jack in Mount Lebanon.
Hi, Colin. How's the family?
Great. You're a big Panera person.
Go every day and meet my brother.
There we go. I don't think I'm missing out, but what are all these people going to Panera for every day?
what's that word? Camaraderie?
You hit it. There you are. 2-3 tries, my man, Jack.
Thanks. Hey, that gentleman, I think it was, no, who was, I can't remember now. I had a couple. it was called about the state budget and the county budget and the city budget, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, I just want to know how much it costs the county to change from PAT to PRT.
Yeah, I remember looking that up. The rebranding cost a bunch of money and was totally 100% without question unnecessary, Jack.
Stupid. They changed one letter. PAT to PRT.
Right. And everybody, I still call it PAT.
Me too.
It is the dumbest, most idiot. I don't care if it costs $10. It's a waste of money.
Yeah, exactly. It probably costs millions to change every bus and billboard or whatever. Just that one letter.
Not just that. The uniforms that the people wear, the letterhead, all of that. And think about everything that had changed. It wasn't millions. I remember looking this up one day. You know what? Before tomorrow's show, I'm going to look it back up and see what that rebrand cost. But it definitely, it took me back because I was on your wavelength. I looked it up one day, and it was not cheap, and it was certifiably dumb.
Oh, yeah. Well, look who runs it.
There we go. Jack, always a great dismount. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. I got so much more to get into. Oh, straight from a horror film coming up next. Wait till you hear this. Straight from a horror film. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center. KDK AAA Traffic. It's all powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Trevin.
Thanks, Colin. Speaking of horror films, and that's a good one. I can't wait. Be careful out there. Still active due to an overturned truck southbound I-279 Parkway North is closed between I-79 and the Camp Horn Road Exit 8 interchange. I say be careful because there's a number of other accidents that have been reported as well. The Perry Highway in Marshall Township, an accident reported there. We'll keep an eye on that as well for you. And Washington Pike, South Fayette, we'll keep an eye on that one as well. I'll keep it short. With AAA traffic, there's normal delays on all other major arteries. With AAA traffic, I'm Trevin on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
All right, straight from a horror movie. Give a listen to this, which happened in Ohio.
The 72 vultures were scattered across the baseball fields at St. Bernadette Elementary in Pierce Township, 20 miles southeast of Cincinnati.
Lots of questions and concerns, just giving that large number of birds that passed away so quickly.
Claremont County Health Commissioner Julianne Nesbitt says two of the vultures have tested positive for bird flu.
They could have eaten another infected bird. We have no way of knowing how they specifically would have gotten infected.
She says the risk to humans is low, but people should stay away from dead birds. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Thank you. We'll work in reverse. Yeah, stay away from dead birds. Quality advice, something that you need to live by, probably. 72 vultures. We're not talking about 72 robins, 72 sparrows, 72 cardinals or blue jays. 72 vultures scattered about the lawn of St. Bernadette's Elementary School, Pierce Township, Ohio. Guarantee they have an elementary school basketball team because it's a Catholic school. And guarantee they probably have a bingo fundraiser there. But anyhow, so at St. Bernadette's here, 72 vultures. Can you imagine being the first car in the drop-off line that morning? Like whenever this was found, 2 days ago or yesterday morning, whatever. And you go and you pull it up and you got your second grader and your fourth grader. And they got their blue slacks on, dark blue slacks, and light blue collared shirt. And they're headed to St. Bernadette's in Pierce Township, Ohio. And they maybe got theology first or second period. And then they got the run-of-the-mill classes. First Friday, they have mass, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, you pull in the line to drop them off. And you go, oh, you guys playing some game on the field? It's freezing cold. Why would you be playing some game on the field? Why'd they throw all that stuff on the field? What is that on the baseball field out there? That's weird. Are they resodding? Are those bags? Oh, those are dead birds. Wow. There's 72 of them. And they're dead vultures. That's straight Alfred Hitchcock stuff. I mean, it just is. Seven of them is Alfred Hitchcock stuff. Looking out on a field and seeing 72 dead vultures, you'd have to think it was a prank. Like they were made of rubber or they were toy birds. No way did you think they were real. I kind of never want to see that. But I also, for curiosity's sake, kind of want to see that. Ralph's in Pittsburgh. Hi, Ralph.
Hey, how you doing, Colin? I wanted to talk with you about this PRT thing. I have some insight on this a little bit. I don't know if you're aware. I'm the former president of the Allegheny County Transit Council.
Well, and, my gosh.
Yeah, and we are at the time. I'm no longer part of the group anyway. The council is an advisory council to the PRT, and I still have Port Authority on the brain. So, we told them straight up, don't change the name like that. Tinker with it a little bit, but don't change the full thing and go into a full concept $1 million or $2 million plan or whatever it was they spent. I don't remember.
I'm looking here and it says, I looked this up. It says $720,000, the rebrand.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And we told them just keep it the way it is or put something, you know, in place. They decided to spend that money. That's like we told them. Don't spend money on consultants coming in from all over the place to try to tell somebody how to do something and instead take that money and put it away or whatever. And they decided to hire consultants to come in and pay consultants, what, $300,000, $100,000, whatever it is. I find it a waste of money. And I didn't, you know, I told them about it. So, I mean, you know, I just want to let you know that.
Yeah. Way to fight the good fight. I agree with you. It's silly, stupid, ridiculous. The fact that they changed the name of the bus, it makes absolutely no sense. There's no way you could try to tell me it's going to lure people from different places. It's more inclusive and welcoming. Shut up. It's Pat, Port Authority. It's been that forever. It's always going to be that. Coming up next, they're trying to make you go back to work. Uh-oh. Wow. Are they terrible people? PNC Bank. We need to have a talk about that. All right, here we go. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Before we're out of here today, I generally, pardon me, I'm a big fan of AI, but there was something that caught my ear and I went, I'm a little skeptical in one realm, and I'll let you know what that is. All right, here we go. So I started this show with this story today, and I want to rehash quickly here. I do want to take your calls. So a return to office protocol is perhaps returning to, or is going to happen for PNC Bank employees. So this from the Post-Gazette, big story of the Post-Gazette. PNC Bank employees are bracing for what many fear is coming next, a full-scale return to the office 5 days a week at a time when companies nationally are leaning further into hybrid work rather than away from it. I just want to first talk about how that first sentence in the Post-Gazette story is phrased. PNC Bank employees are bracing for what many fear is coming next, a full-scale return to the office. Why is it a fear? See, we've now twisted work and going into the office and doing your job from a centralized workplace and not your house as a fear. That's just so odd to me, okay? But anyway, I'll continue. According to posts on this online forum called thelayoff.com, it surfaced during the bank's quarterly fireside chat. CEO Bill Demchak, who I'm told is a brilliant guy and a really nice guy, hinted at this imminent shift. So Demchak stated that remote work benefits employees and harms the company and added he was trying to imagine a world where he is asking you to do your job. The threat has received a bunch of views. Now, PNC has been working more than 2 years to coax employees back to the office. In March of 2023... they advocated for downtown growth, rolled out incentives, and offered 2 months of free parking on the North Shore with a shuttle service to its downtown headquarters, amongst other things. They'd like to have you back working in the office. Okay? Now, data from staffing agencies show that hybrid work remains deeply ingrained in how employees now want and expect to work. That sentence kills me. How employees now want and expect to work. Expect to. Okay, you're the employee, someone's the boss. You don't like it? Go find a different job. I mean, I don't know how more plainly to put it, but it's pretty simple there. Now, nationally, about 24% of new job postings offer a hybrid schedule. In Pittsburgh, a little bit higher, 32% offer that flexibility. Since 2023, hybrid job postings have more than doubled, while remote-only jobs and fully in-office job roles have held steady, 6% and 62%, respectively. Now, PNC Bank has about 54,000 employees. Where are we here? I'm lost as to why workers think this isn't a solution, or it's some sort of awful, awful thing, or even more so, that they're oppressed. We have ventured into a time where if we don't control everything, or we don't have a big say, or we're not in command of it, or it's not incredibly comfortable, we scream that we're oppressed, or it's not fair. And that's simply not the case. You have the right to go take another job if you want. Work from home. Do all you want. Find one that is fully work from home. I always thought that, and I stand steadfast with this, that it is a case-by-case basis. There are people who are married to working remotely is the only way to go. Going in an office is a waste of time. Everybody, or some companies put up money for leases or for buying a building, whatever. Total waste of time. You can get as much productivity done at home. Some people are way on that side. Some people are working at home is the dumbest thing ever. You get nothing done. Everybody needs to be in the office 40 hours a week, not 1 minute less. Get there. It is what it is. Yada. Okay. I'm not on that side either. It is clearly a case-by-case basis. There is no one size fits all. You got to look at each vocation, the way each job carries itself, the way what your job requirements and duties are, and decide from there. I always looked at it like my default would be, if I were looking for another job, that the expectation is that I leave my house every day, go somewhere and work there, and then when it was finished, get back in my car and find my way back to my house. That would be the expectation if I was looking for another job. And anything that was short of that or that was different than that or offered some flexibility where I worked from home, that would be something that would serve sort of kind of as a bonus. But the expectation would be I've got to carve out the time, the energy, the money, all of that to get to said workplace. I don't know. Maybe that's because, like, that's what I do. And I come here and you know, put the show together and then deliver it from this place and then get back into my car and go home. I'm just sort of lost how this has become a big topic. And what level of fight back that you think that you have as a PNC Bank employee when you are so very put off by the notion that you might have to go in. You know, that's what I don't get. Some think this is some sort of covert operation where the higher-ups are doing this, trying to force people to come back. They're going to say no, and then they're going to outsource these jobs. People aren't ever going to go in the office anyway, and they're going to get them for cheaper. I don't necessarily think it's going to be that sneaky. I think that they want people to come in because they think they can be more productive. And if they think they can be more productive, it's kind of not for you to say unless they take a poll and say, where would you like to work from? Sarah's in Carnegie. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. So, I mean, I've been working from home since COVID, and I'm all for it. You have to be a disciplined person, 100%. But, I mean, I don't have anybody standing over my shoulder. I'm more productive. I don't have to worry about somebody being too loud next to me, you know, or trying to go to the bathroom and having 50 people stop you on the way to just talk. You know, I get so much more done working from home.
And we've already I'm not here to argue that. I'm not here to argue that. But if a boss or a company says they want you to work in a centralized location, you don't have a lot, you don't have a leg to stand on.
Right. So with that, I think that if you're applying for a job and they say you're going to be working in the office, then you work in the office. But with a company that's already proven they can work from home successfully, to turn around and say, okay, that's it. We're done working from home. Tomorrow you're going back to the office. I don't think that that's right because it's already been proven they can work from home. These people, I know not everybody wants to work from home, so maybe they could be given the option.
Or maybe they could work for another place.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
Then because what are you going to do? We've lost this in the world. Somebody's the boss and somebody's the worker. And nobody's working 18 hours in the mine in north central Pennsylvania here. Like, we're not talking about oppressive labor. We're talking about getting in your car, driving down to the North Shore, taking a shuttle, going to a building.
Paying for parking, paying for babysitters, you know, having to worry about driving in heavy traffic, having to worry about, you know, stressing because your drive stinks in the morning. That is all. I mean, I'm not a kid. I'm not a 30-year-old. I've worked hard and I've worked those 18-hour days. So I definitely know all the different sides. And the last two or three jobs I've had have been work from home. I've worked in offices and worked from home both. I still say that given the option, me personally, the last time I had to look for a job, I looked for only work from home.
Oh, no. That's a point very well taken, Sarah. But my point is this. They don't have to give you an option, and it could change at any time.
Yep, that's true. But, I mean, we were forced to work from home because of COVID, right? It wasn't our choice.
Talk to Governor Wolf.
No, thank you.
Exactly. Right. Like, you know what I mean? This is where politics and business mix.
Yeah. And I wish they wouldn't.
Right. Do you think I wanted to be home and my kids not be in school? You know?
No. Right. I'm just so glad I didn't have kids during that time. But that's a different story. But I mean, I can understand where the employees at PNC are coming from. I do definitely feel their, you know, angst, whatever you want to call it. I think that, you know, it should be like, if you're a seasoned employee there, you've been there for 10 years, or you're like, I don't know, you're an exemplary employee, you should be given a choice.
Yeah, a lot of people see it that way. And do I think it's the best way to go about it from an HR standpoint? Probably not. But sometimes stuff is just what it is, and it sucks. But they have the right to do it. Coming up next, AI is everywhere. I kind of wish it wasn't in this realm. All right, AI is all over the place, right? And I think the benefits are great. They really are. There are a lot of positives. A lot of things can be streamlined. A lot of communication. Just so many things can be beneficial to us. There's no question about that. There's something that comes down the wire from a man named Steven Greenberg, right? And he does these reports about a minute long. And it's different things about jobs, about business, about this, about that. And they're on the CBS network. And I heard this today. And there's one thing I'm a little skeptical about. Give a listen to this.
Job interviews are changing rapidly, driven by technology and a new focus on soft skills and practical experience. Many employers are not only doing virtual interviews on Zoom. They're now using AI-powered screening tools to analyze candidate responses, their tone, and body language. And for many roles, employer questions are shifting towards behavioral and skills-based questions as companies seek candidates who demonstrate adaptability, emotional intelligence, and problem-solving ability. A great way to persuade employers is to come prepared with 30 to 45-second stories that demonstrate these skills. And to help turn interviews into job offers, whether or not employers are using AI to evaluate you, be authentic and engaged. Maintain eye contact, smile, and ask thoughtful, insightful questions to demonstrate genuine interest and cultural fit. That approach should help lead to your next job. With your next job, I'm Steven Greenberg.
All right, we got to talk here. AI is analyzing tone and body language in what amounts to a Zoom interview. So maybe facilitated by a human on the other side, but AI is now tracking your body, your tone, the way your inflection and the way that you speak and all of that. And then naturally they have key points or whatever, and they run it through something or analyze it. And then it maybe or maybe doesn't meet certain criterion in which they're looking for, and that's how they arrive at applying points, yay or nay, to you potentially getting the job or not. This is a bridge too far for me. There's no way that is more beneficial than someone. Now, you don't have to fly there. You don't have to be in the same office. Ideally, yes, in the same place. Pardon me. But there is no way that is more beneficial using AI to do this than someone who's another human who is in charge of hiring, or maybe potentially not even in charge of hiring, but potentially going to work with you. That is much more beneficial. That person sitting in a room, having a discussion with you, talking to you, looking at you, seeing if you look them in the eye, seeing if they can carry on a conversation with you, seeing how you problem solve, rather than robotically and from a computer standpoint, analyzing different points and seeing if you fit between certain parameters. Some things, there's a lot of things in life that it's better suited to use the computer. There are some things in life you just cannot replace the human feel. And a job interview, you could give me all these studies, you could tell me how much, but no way in the world can you replace a human feel. It's, you'll never, ever, ever, ever convince me of such.